waiting in the spotlight. But meanwhile,
welcome everybody to the second Hillary Step podcast. We were thrilled with the reception of the first podcast. A lot of people have said that they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, congratulations to you if you figure out how to do it. And
if you haven't figured out how to do it, don't feel bad. It's this new technological world is an evasive and elusive one.
Yeah, chin up. You'll get there.
But if you don't know how to do it, we will send out another email soon. Reminding people how to go about doing it. But then again, if you're listening to this, you do know how to do it, so that's kind of
preaching to the converted,
right? So this is our second podcast, and we just a couple of things to remind you of. We got a gig coming up on October 2nd.
That's this Sunday.
Yeah, and that's at Don't Tell Mamas on 343 West 46th. West 46th between 8th and 9th. Come on by. And we are going to be doing all sorts of new stuff at this gig. New songs that you guys haven't heard yet, and some songs from the old Knee Deep in Giants album, which is still available on our website.
Yep.
www.thehillarystep.com. You can get hats and t-shirts there, too. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to wear a Hillary Step hat and a Hillary Step t-shirt.
It is. It makes you feel good and take pride in yourself.
Yeah. So that's what we got going on. Now, we have with us today a member of the original version of the Hillary Step, and that is the one and only Mr. Joe DeGeist II. Say hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Happy and proud to be on the second podcast, tying into my Joe DeGeist II. There's unity there.
There's that's unity good. There. Joe very listened good. To the first podcast.
And said, get me on that thing!
That's right. So... we're going to be talking today about Joe's experience with the Hillary Step, what it was like for him to go through all those wonderful and crazy times. So, yeah, I mean, what kind of thing? What do you when you think the Hillary Step? What do you think of?
Well, you know, I told you this on the phone. It was all a drug haze. I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
From those days.
I know what you mean.
You know, it was a hotel room.
Totally.
And then a groupie, and then a guy in a black jacket.
Night after night.
And then another hotel room.
Sometimes yep. The guy in the black jacket was the
groupie. Was the groupie, which you didn't tell me until the next day, which I found very annoying.
Sounds very familiar.
The Hillary Step was a great experience for me, actually, and I miss it a lot. Just the camaraderie of the band members and the music. And, you know, I mean, you know, Rob asked me, you went to John first, asked John.
I probably didn't go to John first. I probably did it and then called
he
John.
He probably asked
I think
you
I remember
first.
That. I remember I was driving up to Lake Placid to do a gig, and I just had this, like, I guess it had been percolating in my head to ask a couple of people, and I was just like, screw it, I'm doing it. Right. And I think I literally have a memory of stopping at a service station and calling you and calling Suzanne Morris, who was a singer with us.
Right on the spot.
And maybe Matthew Dunn, too, was the bass player. I don't remember.
I think Matthew had already started.
Yeah, Matthew might have already started with us. And I think I called you, and you said, yeah, and for me, it was like, okay, it's the beginning of the dream, putting a band together. And then I probably called John and said, hey, guess what? We've added three people.
For me, it was definitely the dream. I always had this dream of being in a rock band, but I never pursued it, you know?
Right.
So you offered me this opportunity, and then John... accepted me in, and it was just like literally a dream come true, and I really see it as a gift from God.
Yeah.
That was given through you, because always wanting to be a rock star, you gave me the chance to do that, so I don't have to be reincarnated in another life just to be a rock star.
Right.
I kind of have done it on some scale.
That's a great way to look at it, actually, a very spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one of the, I mean, you added so much to the Hillary Step, but I think one of the you were sort of the spiritual guardian of the Hillary Step. Of course, I remember going on tour. One of my big memories was when 9/11 happened and that rehearsal after 9/11. Like,
yeah,
I think 9/11 obviously was on a Tuesday, and that's when we used to rehearse on Tuesdays, and I think we took that, well, obviously we took that night off, and I think we probably took the next week off too. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But, or maybe we didn't, but when we all got back together, I mean, it was such a, you know, that group of six people was such a family at that time.
Yeah, and very sensitive group.
And really very sensitive. So. And I remember we got back together at a studio down on
30th.
Houston. No, we were Carolina's. Oh. Studio down on Houston, and we rehearsed, but I remember that we said we were going to start just by playing a couple songs, almost like in memory, and just to, you know, and I think we started with Bye Mary Bye, which is a song that Matthew Dunn wrote, which is like...
Beautiful song.
Beautiful song.
Yeah.
Why to start with that when, I mean,
it was tough.
It's a song of saying goodbye.
Yeah. And maybe that's why. I think we made it about, you know, 30 seconds in, and
I
lost it. And I remember that you really took the helm at that point, and we sat and you just talked us through. You talked us as a family, as a group of people, through that time.
I remember facilitating anyway, and just encouraging people to talk about it. So it's not that we were avoiding it, but we weren't addressing it either.
Right.
So it was time to just talk about it, because it's such a heavy thing.
But that was such an amazing role of yours throughout, and I, you know, that spiritual role. And then there was the time that we were on tour, and your person from the Hare Krishna community had died.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tamal tell that Krishna, story. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami.
Oh, yeah.
I had just gone online. I got an email that this very prominent figure in the Hare Krishna movement had been killed in a car accident. And so it was very jarring. And I didn't know him, but I met him once, but I knew of his legend more so than anything else. Very powerful preacher. And so I went to the family. And we were also staying at friends of John's.
The Butlers.
North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
And said, well, I need to like deal with this, you know? And I went off to try to find a temple there, because there was a listing of a temple in that area, but it turned out to be closed or something.
Right.
Like it was not there anymore. So I came back and just asked everybody, you know, can I talk about this a little bit and eulogize him a little?
Yeah.
So I did my best, meager effort to try to glorify this amazing personality. But I remember that everybody was so there.
Yeah.
And it showed up in the work.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was such a, like, a... Yeah, I mean, there was such a... I can't think of specifics at the moment, but there were so many times that I just, like... You know, we would veer in one direction or the other, and you would pull us back. You know, like, we would just be being, you know, jerks and want to be rock stars about this or that, you know, and you would remind us, you know, we're people. You know?
I was the nanny, is what you're saying.
Exactly it.
But anyway. That obviously was not the only contribution that...
I also played guitar.
Yes, you also played guitar.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was that like, that guitar journey for you?
It was a great and challenging journey, and one that I'm thankful for. It was wonderful. I mean, to have made an album was something I'd always thought about, and again, never thought I would actually do. And it's true now that, you know, anybody and their granny can make their own album in their basement or whatever. But we did it on a real 96-track, you know, old-fashioned way,
kind
of in the studio.
We did.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful for having had gone through that process and playing live, which is just an exhilarating thing.
Sure.
And actually, the best time I ever had, now I'm an actor first, you know, and the best time I ever had as an actor was at a Hillary Stepp show.
In that amazing, amazing moment.
amazing moment.
You know what I'm talking
about,
too.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What an incredible
fantastic.
Story.
Absolutely fantastic.
It was, we can all tell it, but I mean... We had a weekly gig, a happy hour at a bar / club called Downtime on 30th Street. And, you know, it was usually like 7-8 people in there drinking and us playing rock and roll for 2 hours or whatever music this is. And I remember Travis Plager was there,
yes,
who's a musician. Well, you tell what the story, what happened.
Well, basically, Rob broke at least one string, and he asked somebody to cover, you know, do some talking. So I guess John or Suzanne went up there and started talking about the mailing list or something or other, but he was having complication with the string. So,
which was like a constant.
Need to cover. Thing, yeah. Need to cover even more than we were covering, basically.
Right. So it's like, keep going, right? So being just about tapped out, I had a moment of inspiration and went up and just started doing a little Bruce Springsteen. Thinking, how you doing there tonight? You know?
But even better.
Well, yeah. So I started telling, Springsteen is famous for, among other things, doing these monologues about his childhood and stuff before songs. So I start playing these arpeggios on the guitar, which may have seemed to be random chords. And I was talking about growing up by the boardwalk,
it was perfect.
Doing this stuff. Excuse me.
What and was then the I name think, of the girl? Like you were like Sally.
I think I named like every Springsteen girl name. Wendy and Candy.
Yeah. It was
Rosie.
Totally,
and I don't remember.
It was.
He's talking about Vietnam.
Yeah. So it ended up. I went through, childhood in Jersey up to Vietnam, and took a real Springsteen stance on Vietnam. And the band had realized that the chords that I was doing arpeggios to were the chords to the next song, which is In This Nowhere.
Right.
So they started to come in. Matthew came in on bass and Melissa was there.
Just like a little bit.
Very
like,
subtly, very yeah. creeping in, backing me up like the E Street Band would. Hmm. And I just told this story, which I don't remember clearly, but it just progressed to, being in the jungles of Vietnam and
right.
not knowing why you were there.
And then at which point I had finished the guitar, so I was ready.
Yeah, Rob gave me the nod that he was ready, and I said, you wake up one day and you say, how did I get in this nowhere? And then boom, the band kicked in right at the right moment there.
It was
just
brilliant.
One of those exhilarating moments.
It was amazing.
And the crowd was with us, and they
Seven people were screaming.
Totally. But it was such a satisfying theatrical
moment,
yeah. man.
It was.
Oh, yeah. What great delivery.
Yeah. Are there songs that stick out to you, of songs that you particularly enjoyed playing or that you like listen, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, so many. Oleo has always been a favorite and of playing and just a favorite song of mine.
Well, you had your arpeggio thing.
Yeah.
You created a lot of
my
solo.
Yeah.
You and Z came up with a lot of those parts together, didn't you?
A little bit, but you also.
Yeah.
Came up with a lot of
Ziad Al-Hilal. Ziad Al-Hilal, our producer.
He said that, not me.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Right.
It was a great fun song. Sister Mercy, right. I love. I always loved, I'm not even remember the name of it now, because we never really, we played it rarely in concert.
Janie?
No, from the first album.
Look Straight Up?
No, it was John's
Breathe
song.
Again?
Breathe Again. I always loved Breathe Again.
Yeah, Breathe Again.
Great bridge, especially in that song. So many doorways,
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things that ranked. And also, the stuff we covered, Ain't No Sunshine, which became like a beast.
Yes.
It was a real big, live.
Kept growing.
It was a live piece. It was like a show centerpiece. And we'd weave in and out. And also, you made another one of my dreams come true there, because in the middle of that, sometimes we would go into Whole Lot of Love by Zeppelin, and I got to sing the lead of two lines. You need cool.
That's right.
Yeah, that was fun.
So that's right. Yeah. And there was Sunshine was such a crazy thing. I think it started out 5 minutes, and by the end of the Hillary step, it was
14
up to 12
minutes.
So we kept adding songs into it and stuff.
Endless.
Right. It was. I mean, it had direction. It wasn't. It didn't meander and go through these lulls. I don't think.
Right.
But it just did get longer. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
Any other big memories that stick out to you? Moments that stick out to you? Anything like that? Or whatever. Anything that you...
Well, just the fun of being on tour,
Yeah.
Off stage as well as on.
It was such a funny group of people.
Yeah.
I think we were all naturally funny people, but I think we were, of course, inspired by the Beatles,
Yeah, everybody had the Beatle commonality.
Right.
And then there would be Suzanne who would say something like, I want to hold your hand as the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
Right. But
God bless
her credit, she bought some Beatles CDs.
Yes, upon our instruction.
She's
I think.
A Beatlemaniac as well. So what's in the future for Joe DeGuise?
The second.
Thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to the gigs at Don't Tell Mama.
Right, Joe is helping us put these together. He's our director for these gigs.
They hired me on as a director, and like everybody is saying, "Well, what do you mean he's a director? He's directing a concert."
So what does that mean, director boy?
Let me define by negation first. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna, you know, like, okay, let's do Jackie. And let's have big screens where we'll project famous Jackies.
Why not?
Start with Jackie Mason, then go to Jackie Onassis.
That'd be good. Jackie not Chan.
Jackie idea. Chan.
Excellent.
But it's basically, you know, making sure that the presentation is as nice as it can be.
Right. And it's nice. It's just nice to have you back in the fold a bit too.
Yeah,
I love being in the fold, and I'm very excited about the new songs. I think the new songs are really strong.
Cool.
And there's some like nice and surprising harmonies.
Yeah.
And
they don't. Now these days we don't even do harmonies in the same key as the song.
Yeah, and I was doing that years ago. You know? But God bless you, you know, bringing that to the fore. But yeah, and like. Like this Neon Road, some really, really cool guitar things going on in it.
Cool.
And I'm just like really excited about the new material. So, and the show is a mix of new older and material old. And new stuff. Yeah. So that's nice balance.
Okay. Also, Joe can be seen weekly, Thursday through Saturday at Chicago City Limits, where I can be seen as well. Shows at 8 o'clock Thursday through Saturday night and at 10 o'clock on Saturday as well. Come on out and see him. Funny, funny man. And thanks, Joe, for being here with us today.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for allowing me to pod with you guys.
It was a blast.
Anytime.
And we'll see you all Sunday, October 2nd, 5:30 p.m. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Nowhere, I am someone, I am something, I align. This nowhere, I protested, now I'm vested and defined. Through this heartache, I've been exposed, open and closed. I have cried, I have wondered, I have plundered, I suppose. Strings to find the answer. I watched the dancer dance away. I was hypnotized by pirouettes, turning circles, they spun away. I was directed, I connected to a scene.